Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Karuk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florian McCovey. This episode is titled, Being Sealed.
Being Sealed. When I got to be about 12 years old, and the Fetuinen I was being trained to serve had not been born, there was no reason to continue to train me to be the Fetuinen's woman. This training is very specific. I was being trained to help a specific individual at a specific place. They had no idea who he was or what family he was being born into, but they knew that he had not been born. If he had been born, they would have seen the baby and recognized him as the Fetuinen, like they recognized me as being the Fetuinen's woman. He wasn't there. He never came. A medicine woman only served one Fetuinen, and when he died or stopped being Fetuinen, then she would quit and someone else would become the Fetuinen's woman. You still had the power, and you were still gifted, and you still had all these things that you'd been trained to do, but you didn't work actively at it as you did when you had been the Fetuinen's woman. Even though I was trained to be the Fetuinen's woman, I had no experience in directly working in that capacity because the Fetuinen I was trained to serve was never born. There was no special ceremony to seal me off. The medicine women would have just prayed, and some would have smoked their pipes, and others would have fanned smoke on themselves, and they would have talked to the Creator and said that since the Fetuinen had not been born, then Mavis could go on with her own life, and she no longer had to do this. This part of my life was over and behind me. To seal me off, they went to a power site near here and prayed and sang and burned herbs in a fire. To make medicine, you pick certain plants and put them in a basket, then build a fire and put your plants in the fire and talk to God and tell him what you're talking about and why, and dance and sing. You face the four winds and pray and talk to God and tell him what your problem is. That's making medicine. They told me that I wouldn't have to do what I was supposed to have done if the Fetuinen had been born. That part of my life was over and behind me. Now I would have a happy life of my own. They sealed me from the 8 years or so of training to be the Fetuinen's woman, but they didn't take away my power. They left my power with me because there was no reason to take it away. Evidently, I met their approval and was as good a person as they had expected me to be, had wanted me to be. Being an only child, I was terribly spoiled, but that never seemed to bother them. After they sealed me, I began to feel anger. If somebody did something to me, pushed me, I would push them back. After I was sealed, I could get married and have children, and I could have a happy personal life. I wouldn't have to serve all the time. Before I was sealed, my life was going to be one of always having to serve people, and I would never have a life of my own until I finished with that, whenever the boy, 10 or 11 years younger than I was, had stopped being a Fetuinen. After I was sealed, they prayed and made medicine, because Daisy Jones could see that, because of my physical problems, my children weren't going to live if they did not make medicine and pray for me. So then they made all kinds of medicine. I had 17 dolls, and they made 17 blankets, 17 baskets, one for every doll, so that there would be no empty baskets and no doll without a basket. This was making medicine for my children to live. She told me that she thought most of them would make it to adulthood and have children of their own, that they would have some life and would live long enough to have children of their own. but she said she couldn't stop all of the bad things that would happen, and that I was going to have to lose some of them. It was true. My mother was still alive when I got the dolls. We'd been living in Eureka, where my mother was running a boarding house and working for the WPA, and I was mostly home alone. She worked for the WPA at a little manufacturing shop in Eureka, where she sewed clothes for people who were out of work and had children, but didn't have any clothes for them or food for them. If she sewed fast enough, she could make me a few things while she was at it. Like if she made 2 pairs of pants for the WPA, she could make 1 for me. She had to work 4 hours a day for the WPA, but she didn't make enough to live in Eureka, so she ran a little boarding house to pay for her rent. One day I had been home after school, playing on a little sun porch in the backyard. I'd taken my dolls out in the backyard and was playing on the back steps with them in the sunshine. When it started to get dark, my mother told me to bring the dolls in, but I didn't want to bring them in. I was tired, and I didn't want to. My mother told me that it was going to rain and that the dolls would get ruined. If they got ruined, she would give them to the firehouse for the firemen to fix up for poor children. Not that we weren't poor, but for really poor children. We had a roof over our heads. I didn't bring in the dolls, and she had told me the consequences. She would give the dolls away if they got rained on. So all my dolls got ruined, and my mother gave them to the firehouse. Then at Christmas time, we came to Orleans from Eureka, and Grandma and Grandpa were here, and everybody, including the church, gave me dolls. I got 17 dolls that Christmas, because my mother gave my dolls away, and everybody thought she was being mean. I did not get another doll from my mother. She gave me books that year. My Aunt Caroline gave me a handmade layette with the doll she gave me, and my Aunt Hazel crocheted little blankets and sweaters for the dolls that she gave me. So I had all these little dolls, and then Daisy had a vision later when I was getting sealed around 11 years old. My parents were long gone, and Daisy asked my Aunt Caroline how many dolls I had. I had given some away, but I still had 17 dolls. I had developed diabetes when I was 9 years old from pancreatitis, which I got from being poisoned from a whooping cough shot. Daisy saw that diabetes was going to cause me to lose a lot of my children, and she could see me not having children, that my children were going to die. So she made the little baby doll baskets for every single doll I owned, so there would be no empty baskets, so there would be no doll without a baby basket, and no bed without a baby in it. This was going to make positive medicine for my children to live. Daisy told me that when I had children, the ones that lived would grow to be adults. I took that to mean that they would live to be grown. I didn't realize that she was saying that all of my children who lived would have a child before they died. So what happened was that I had Carol, who died at 36 with 1 son. I had Depe, who died at 16, and he had 1 son. Bevi had 4 children, and Longon had 3 children, and they both lost a child. Even though Daisy saw when I was 11 years old that I was going to have trouble having children, my diabetes wasn't diagnosed until I was 23 years old and had had 2 miscarriages. Because of the diabetes, I threatened to miscarry with all of my children. The medicine woman told me that even though I had been sealed, if I was ever asked to do a ceremony like a brush dance, I was to do it because I could. I had that power. And that I should not listen to anything anyone says or what complaints they have because the Creator will tell me what I have to do. I have the power to pick up this medicine, bring it down, and get it out of the child being treated at the brush dance, and to bless the people who are at the dance. I can do that. It isn't exactly what I was born to do or trained to do, but it's something I can just do because the training carries over to that, even though it is not my specialty.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called Ceremonies. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Lura Cooper.